Thank you, Dr. Dautre. I'm also a student at Texas Tech. But anyways, I've been just finishing up my master's degree right now. For the last 2 years, I've been working on non-dicamba-tolerant cotton response to low rates of dicamba. So the problem that we've been seeing, and I don't think this is anything new to anyone new, but there's been off-target movement of dicamba, whether it's particle or vapor drift. With that off-target movement, it's being observed that we're seeing more or increased plant damage, but what really isn't determined is whether it's the rate that's causing more of the damage or it's the timing of the application that's timing of the drift occurrence that's causing most of the damage. So the objective of this trial was to determine cotton boll number and boll distribution and yield response following dicamba applications applied at 5 different rates and at 4 different growth stages. The hypotheses for this trial were cotton boll number will decrease as the rate of dicamba increases. Cotton boll distribution will shift from low to high when dicamba is applied early. And dicamba-sensitive cotton sprayed with dicamba will suffer greater lint reductions at early timings than at later timings. The materials and methods. The trial was set up as a randomized complete block design with 3 replications. The 5 different rates of dicamba that we used are over here on this table here. We started with the 1X rate as the standard dicamba rate that's used if you had ExtendFlex cotton or anything like that, of a 1/2 pound of acid equivalent per acre. And then we did a fraction from that every moving down, so a 1/10X rate, a 1/50X, 1/100, and a 1/500. And then the 4 different timings that we applied it at were by growth stage, so we had first square plus 2 weeks, first flower plus 2 weeks, and then out physiological cutout as well. The plots were 4 rows wide, but we only sprayed the center 2 rows, and that was just to try to eliminate any off-target movement, whether it be drift or anything, between plots. Stats were run using ProcGlimix and SAS 9.4, and we did box mapping to look at boll distribution, but I'll get into that just a little bit. Before I get into the nitty-gritty details, I really want to just talk broad spectrum, look at all the treatments compared relatively to the untreated. So if we're looking at here on the y-axis, we have pounds of lint per acre that was produced, and then our first bar, the solid red, or the bright red, is going to be our untreated, and that's what we're comparing everything to. Underneath every bar, we've got the rate of dicamba. Here we go. So 1/500th, 1/100th, and then below that is the bracket. And that's just showing what application timing the rate of dicamba occurred at. So starting from left to right, we have first square plus 2 weeks, and then all the way at the right-hand side here, we have physiological cutout. So moving from youngest plants to the most mature plants. What's most interesting is that at the 1/500th, 1/100th, and 1/50X rate, we really didn't see any statistical difference in yield relative to the untreated. We do see some down here in the cutout applications, but in 2018 data, we don't see that trend as well, or we don't see that trend, and I think it's just variability that maybe we didn't account for this year, or in 2017. Where we do see differences is at the 1/10th and the 1X treatment rates, and that's at the earliest timings where we see the most significant impact, and as we get later into the season, we see less and less impact on yield. This 2018 yield is laid out the exact same, untreated being that first plot, and then we're moving left to right, being the youngest plants, over to the most mature plants. The 1/500th, 1/100th, and 1/50th X rate, we don't see any significant yield impacts. And then by the 1X and 1/10th X rate at the cutout application in 2018, we actually had no significant yield impact at all. So for those of you who just aren't familiar with box mapping is done by taking a plant sample. I mean, just depends on how big you wanted to do. We did 5-foot sample. You should take that entire sample out to the edge of the field. You're going to look at every individual plant. You're going to take a boll off of it and put it into the box that represents where it's supposed to be on that plant. For this one, we're counting up this plant. There we go. So you start at your cotyledons. You're going to count every node all the way up. So first one, we have our first branch, we have a vegetative branch on node number 5, and we accounted for vegetative bolls, but we just grouped that all in one just to make it a little more simple for this. Node number 6 is where we have our first fruiting branch, and on first position is where we have our first boll. So we're going to take that boll and move it over into our box that shows represent where it's at, so 6-1, and we're going to do this all the way up throughout the plant until you're all the way done with it. what we wanted to do is group first position bowls, second position bowls, and third position bowls with where they're being, or the timing that they're being produced at. For example, if you have a bowl at 9-1, it's going to be, that bowl is being produced at the same time as 7-2 and as 5-3. So we grouped all those together. And then we wanted to look at three different parts of the plant. So we looked at what was being produced at node 8-1 and then below that. And we wanted to look at what was being produced at 9-1 through 11-1, and we grouped all those together. And then we wanted to look at nodes 12-1 and above. And it actually accounts for 10-2, 8-3, but these are all just when they're being produced at the same times. And if you watch the video long enough, you can see it's a time lapse, and it's just never ending, which is exactly what plant mapping feels like. It's never ending, but you do get through it. It just takes a long time. So this is going back to what we just saw earlier, the total lint production, but these are just split up by timing. So on the left side, we have our 2017 data, and then on the right side, we're going to always have our 2018 data. The untreated will always be the first block, or the first graph here on the left, and then we're going to move out through our dicamba applications. So we have our 1/500th, 1/100th, and 1/50th x-ray at both 2017 and 2018, not showing any significant impacts on yield. Where we do see that impact is at the 1/10th and the 1x rate. What is interesting in 2017 is where the cotton is being produced on the plant. So at the earliest timings, we're seeing a reduction in the bottom part of the plant, so nodes 8 and below. But we see that plant recovering and putting cotton up on the top part of the plant, so above node 12. And then we see similar data in 2018, but that's on the 1/10th X rate. So we're losing a lot of the bulls that we had on the bottom part of the plant, whether they just weren't mature and the plant couldn't hold on to them. But it's shifting that bull production to the top part of the plant or to vegetative branches as well. There isn't vegetative branches or vegetative bulls included on the 2017 data, and that's just because we didn't see any vegetative bulls being produced then. Now what these two graphs are looking at, this is similar layout. We're looking at 2017 on the left side and 2018 on the right side. These graphs are looking at the bull distribution where they're being produced on the plant. So we have nodes going across our x-axis down here, and then we have the bulls produced in 5 feet of row that are going up on the y-axis. Our untreated is always going to be a solid red line, and that's what we're going to be comparing everything to. So we're following up the 1/500th, 1/100th on the left side, and it's nearly mimicking that untreated, which indicates that the 1/500th X rate at the earliest timing really had no significant impacts at all. Where we do see that shift in what we saw in the yield production bulls, or the lint production, is in that 1/50th X rate. We're seeing that shift from the bottom part of the plant over to the top part of the plant. And then at these two high rates, the 1/10th and the 1x rate, we just didn't have very many bulls produced. In 2018, we see similar data. The 1/10th x rate is where we're seeing that dramatic change from the bottom part of the plant to the top part of the plant. And I think for vegetative bulls, why they were put on there, probably just because they had a longer growing season, a little kinder growing conditions, not as hot and dry as it was in 2017. So this is our next timing. Our second timing is the first flower application. Similar results with the 1/500th, 1/100th, and 1/50th X rate, not seeing any significant impacts. Where we do see more yield being produced is our 1/10th X rate down here. We still had no yield on the 1x rate from 2017 data. In 2018, we had a little bit more yield put on the 1/10th X rate, and then we actually had a little bit from the 1x rate. So looking at the bull number and distribution, we're seeing similar trends that we did on our last bull distribution graphs. We're following the untreated for the 1/500th, indicating we're really not impacting that plant at all. We do see a little bit of damage here at some of these higher rates, the 1/100th, 1/50th, and 1/10th, but the 1/100th and 1/50th still had significantly the same for yield produced. We do see a little bit higher yield produced from the 1/10th, and we're following the trend of the untreated, but we just couldn't quite put as many bulls on. For 2018, this is much more mimicking the untreated with the 1/500th and the 1/100th and 1/50th. We see a little bit better yield produced on the 1/10th, but very minimal from the 1x. The third timing that we had is our first flower plus 2 weeks. Here's where we start seeing our 1x rate getting, or 1/10th x rate becoming a lot closer to the rest of the treatments, indicating that our cotton is becoming much more tolerant to the dicamba. It can handle it. We're still seeing that damage to it. We're seeing the cupped and blistered leaves, but it's holding on to bolls. We're not aborting them. The 1/10 was still too much for the 2017 data. 2018, still no significant impact. So 1/500 through the 1/50th, 1/10th, we're getting a little bit more yield, still not quite up to our untreated. And then a 1x, we're actually getting some yield there as well. Similar trends that we saw earlier. The 1/10th x-ray is just too much for the cotton to handle. There you go. It's just too much to handle. It tries to put bolls on, but when they're putting on, like, when you're putting bolls on that 7-8 range, that's where that dicamba is probably setting, or it's when we were applying it, is when it's trying to set those bolls up, and it's just aborting them and not being able to hold on to anything else and not putting anything on the top part of the plant. 2018, we're seeing the same trends. We follow up to about node 8 or 9 here, and then that dicamba affects what bolls are being produced above that. And then our last application, our cutout application timing, we see no significant impact compared to the yield. These ones, there's a little bit of significant impact, but I think we're just not accounting for some stress that was that we saw in the plots. 2018, we actually had no significant impact between any of the application timings or any of the application rates. And the bull distribution following that, these ones follow much more similar to the untreated. And this is just indicating that we have a lot more tolerance to the dicamba at the later applications. We're not aborting those plants or aborting those bulls. So to conclude, bull number and distribution was negatively impacted at first square plus 2 weeks and first flower application timings with rates of dicamba greater than or equal to 1/10x. Cotton applied with dicamba at early growth stages, first square plus 2 weeks, and the first flower application timing shifted bowl production to upper portions of the plant, and dicamba rates of less than or equal to 1/50th X rate had no significant yield impact compared to the untreated, regardless of timing. And then with that, I'd just like to thank the Weed Science Group at Texas Tech and as well as the AgriLife Station in Lubbock, and I will take any questions. Yes, sir.
Two questions. I probably just missed it. When your application is, did you tank mix your dicamba with glyphosate, or did it go out by itself? And secondly, did you see an increase in aborted terminals in the plants from some of those higher dicamba applications?
So the first question was, did we tank mix dicamba with glyphosate? And the answer is no to that. I'm not sure why we didn't do that. I mean, we would just, I assume for weed control. I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but we just hoed out any weeds that we had seen throughout the field, and we picked a relatively weed-free area as well. And then the second question was aborted terminals. That was not accounted for. We did account for aborted bulls, but not aborted terminals.
If you were trying to box map them, you would have noticed it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
What was the actual timing between your 2 week and the first square application?
The actual timing?
Yeah, how much time difference was it between those two?
It was about 2 weeks. I've got the dates. Can I go back in the slides? So the timings here, it was about, for 2018, it was about a week apart, and then for 2017, it was about 11 days apart for our first flower between first square plus 2 weeks. Any other questions?
Thank our speaker.